You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
It's been quite a few days since this story broke. We know what happened. If you don't, then you know, chances are you don't listen to sports talk radio. I want to have a more thoughtful conversation in regard to what needs to change here, so that the Jared Porters of the world don't continue to get hired as general managers in powers of position, and what needs to change, not just in Major League Baseball, but in sports in general, and how I feel more women need to be given more opportunity for executive jobs and executive leadership in hopes that cultures will change. Brittany Giroli is joining us. Now, Brittany, I'm trying to remember, like, you and I, like, I want to say, like, your first year in Baltimore with the Orioles was kind of like my last year. I was leaving Baltimore to come here to New York while you were arriving, right?
Yeah, 2010. I think we just missed each other.
Yeah, I think we kind of just crossed paths. But I'm so thrilled that you're giving us the time today to join us and dive into this with me. First and foremost, if you can, you know, obviously I read your article and know your story. For our listeners out there who don't, if you can, please kind of share with us your story and what happened with you while you were covering the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has stories. I'm sure you have stories. I have stories. I think what I really want to get at and what you mentioned was, like, what can we do here moving forward? Because this Jared Porter thing, people aren't in the media, don't realize, happens all the time. Maybe it's not quite as bad as the 60 unanswered text messages, but to me, it's the smaller slice. I wrote about a player, you know, luring me to his hotel room. And to me, that is what it is. It's going to happen. It's the everyday situations. It's the, you know, someone getting a little creepy over a text message that you have to ignore, being stuck in an elevator and someone asking what room number you're at. You know, the constant need to never be able to say, I don't like that, I'm not comfortable with that, because as reporters, we need sources. You need the players to like you. You need the front office to like you. You need GMs to like you. You need coaches to like you. Otherwise, if you're not friendly, you're a bitch. And I think that there's no real line. It's exhausting and invisible. You know, Anita, you've been in clubhouses before, and it's like, if a woman's too attractive, people are like, oh, what's she doing here? Right? But if you're not attractive enough, no one wants to talk to you. So the line, like I said, it's not fair, and it's not really getting any better. And I think the Jared Porter situation just really brought it all to a head. And I wanted to write that column, and I wanted to relive some of these incidents, not because I wanted people to know about them, because they're very personal and it's embarrassing and certainly not something I gravitate toward writing about, but I wanted people to know that this isn't a one-off. We can't write Jared Porter off as a creep and say, hey, we're done here. MLB needs to really look at this and look at the culture it's fostering and say, how do we make this a safer place for women?
I hear you. And, you know, I don't typically date myself, but I think the importance of this conversation, I will. And I've been covering sports since 1992. I graduated University of South Florida, and I was taking the Stanley Kaplan course. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an attorney. And I interned at a CBS television station in Miami for my final 9 credits. And I interned in the sports department. And my first few days, I went out and I interviewed Barry Bonds. My second day, I went out and I interviewed Charles Barkley when he was just traded to the Phoenix Suns. And I came home and I told my mom, I don't want to go to law school. This is what I want to do. This is amazing. This is the next best thing than being a professional athlete. Like, this is phenomenal. And I just stumbled upon it. And I have a gazillion Jared Porter stories, Brittany, a gazillion. And to the point where I could write a book as lengthy as War and Peace. But I think and keep in mind the year that I came into the business. I will say this: even though it is not where it needs to be right now, it has changed and it has gotten better. And I do feel a sense from some executives and some. From some professional athletes that they do feel the Me Too movement. and they are a lot more conscious and a lot more aware and sensitive and careful in what they say and what they do compared to when I first got in the business, Brittany, back in 1992. it was a poop show. I'd use a different word, but Mickey and Minnie are on my paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I do think it's gotten quieter, though. I think the advent of social media, sliding into DMs, has made it a little bit easier to not be quite so forthright, right? To not hit on me in front of 10 other people, to keep it quiet. And I think that's the thing we need to root out. What scares me the most is Jared Porter wasn't a 70 or 80-year-old special assistant who's still around the game that you're like, all right, he doesn't get it. He never will get it. We're talking about people who grew up knowing better, right? We're talking about guys in their 30s and 40s, and that to me is what MLB needs to address, is not the guys who are on their way out, who, you know, are 75, 80 years old, who are these like creepy old men that, you know, you're just not going to probably change or fix and don't realize that their behavior is wrong. It's the people coming up now that need to realize, like, that just because I'm not rude to you doesn't mean I'm not uncomfortable. There has to be a better situation for reporters to keep their sources and to not be known as like, oh, that rude, unfriendly female. Like, my job is to be friendly. There just has to be, I don't know, maybe some kind of anonymous tip system I've heard people come up with, something to let people know. Because what's funny, Anita, is I knew about Jared Porter when he got hired. Two people texted me and said, this guy is shady. But again, the Mets didn't do their due diligence or didn't speak to the right people. But people in the game know who the creeps are, and I would love to see them exposed and rooted out because it's unacceptable.
Brittany Giroli joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. You can see her work all over The Athletic as well as a contributor on the MLB Network. You know, Brittany, I think you hit on something that's really, really important and crucial that I think sports fans need to understand when it comes to women in this business. And it is a very fine line that we walk in regard to the way that we walk, the way that we dress, the way that we look, the way that we talk, the way that we act, and that fine line of being a professional, but yet at the same time, getting the story and being attractive enough to where the athletes want to talk to us, share with us, open up with us, confide in us, trust us, but not cross that line. And that's a very difficult thing to do. Not very many women can do it. And it's something that we have to do. It's part of our job. And it's a bear.
It is. And it's what I think people don't really realize, like you said, is that it's you can't be too attractive. Like, there's the line to me is just, is so weird, right? And as I get older, I start to just care less, you know. But I do think, you know, this story comes out and I get a bunch of people, Anita, who are like, oh, why didn't anyone hit on you? You're ugly. Like, this is not the point. I am not here for you to, and this is something that only happens to women, right? I am not here for you to critique my attractiveness or not. I'm not here to critique whether you would have felt uncomfortable with that or not. Like, I am sharing my story, and this is the kind of thing women are judged on all the time. What do you look like? What do you dress like? How do you act? Because if I get a scoop and a guy calls me first, people are going to think, oh, there's something going on the side. I've had people accuse me of flirting with players in front of people. You know, it's, again, we are doing our jobs, and it just never seems like it's enough. It never seems like, oh, she does it the right way. Every female in a position of power in the media, you know, you can always find someone who's going to say she got her job because she's a woman. She got her job because she slept her way to the top. And on the list goes.
You're absolutely right. Brittany, before we let you go, I do want to, you know, you've got a lot of Mets and Yankee fans that are listening to you right now. And baseball, you know, the boys of summer, hopefully it'll be here before we know it. But if we, I just wanted to kind of dive into, if you can kind of give each team a grade in regard to, you know, the moves that they have made so far and maybe some insight in regard to some other moves that you see on the horizon for both teams. Let's start with the Mets.
Yeah. So I think the Mets right now, I'd probably give a B to. You saw last night reports emerged that they're interested in Trevor Bauer, who obviously, without clarity on the designated hitter, Bauer to me offers the clearest path to upgrade the Mets roster. You know, he'd essentially replace like that back end of the rotation slot, everyone back a little bit. and he would join Jacob deGrom at the top of a rotation, and that to me would be scary, getting those two. Obviously, Francisco Lindor was a big get for them as well. They upgraded on catching. There's a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement around the Mets. I think they're going to be a really good, really competitive team. You look at their rotation even without Bauer, and you can make a case that they're perhaps the best, or at least the deepest, in the NL East. And as for the Yankees, I think getting DJ LeMahieu back was huge. I think it was a lot of sidestepping, song and dance, but to add a bat like that, that happens to be a premium defender, those players just don't really exist anymore. So many of these top offensive players just don't provide the defense that a guy like LeMahieu does. I think Corey Kluber is going to end up being a sleeper. I heard from multiple scouts that saw him, and I know a lot of teams were interested in Kluber. I think Eric Cressy and the tie-in there, being kind of the head overseeing the Yankees, you know, injury department. Eric Cressy, of course, owns Cressy Sports Performance in Florida. Corey Kluber works out there in the offseason. He lived there. I think that really helped the Yankees get him, because to me, he becomes really the Yankees' number two starter. And if he can get back to being Corey Kluber again, you know, I still think the Yankees probably need to add another starter. But to me, they've done a great job. And I think I would probably give the Yankees a B-. I don't think they've upgraded as much as the Mets have. But also, the Mets are adding here. They've got new owner Steve Cohen. They want to spend money. The Yankees are cutting payroll, and they've been pretty upfront about that, about the money that they've lost. I think despite it all, adding LeMahieu on the contract they added him on certainly should be commended.
Brittany, you rock. Again, I so appreciate your time on this Saturday afternoon. Are you still in the Baltimore, D.C. area?
I am, yeah. My husband and I live right halfway. So either market, either game, it makes for a fun time in regular times.
I miss it. I really enjoyed my time down there. The 4 years I spent there covering both the Orioles and the Ravens and my time on CBS Radio down there was a fun time. And I'm glad that our paths crossed, even if it was for just a hot second. Brittany, thank you. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Anita. It was great to talk to you.
You got it. Make sure you follow her work. You can just hear in that short, brief interview just how brilliant she is and how well she knows her baseball.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.